Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're looking forward to facing the issues. Got an interesting program in line for us today. We're looking forward to a litany of issues that we want to look at in summary form and then say, look at what we should do as believers. When we consider the condition of our nation, when we recognize what is happening on a national and international front, we as believers, moral, ethical people and believers, we need to be gravely concerned of where our nation is going and our world spinning out of control. Jesus Christ, in his words, said, "Thy word is truth," speaking of the word of God. Jesus himself said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We need to be free as a people. But freedom is not just found in our codified constitutional freedom and liberties. If we do not have liberty and freedom in Christ, we are absolutely incarcerated in the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need to be set free, and the only way that is possible is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We seek the answers. We seek truth. We seek God's wisdom, and the source of that is the Bible. The Bible doesn't just contain truth. The Bible is truth. If you want to call in and join in this broad discussion today, we would welcome your call. You can call us at 904-401-1413, and before we look at those issues that I want to cover today, let me first of all invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. The word conservative simply means we believe in the Scripture. We believe in the literal interpretation of the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. We believe that Genesis' account of the creation is literal. We believe that the Bible is to be interpreted in a literal fashion. We believe that the world was created in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. We believe that the Genesis flood was universal. It covered all of the earth. We believe the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, and then the stepping on the scenes of the Antichrist and 7 years of ruin, the Bible refers to as the tribulation, and then the return, visible, valiant return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we will spend eternity with him in that place called heaven. May I remind us, we have worship services on Sunday morning at 10:45 and Sunday evening at 7. Our Wednesday evening service is very much like we do on the radio broadcast. We have Bible question and answers, brief Bible study. We have prayer time and singing time and wonderful meal where the ladies, the different families prepare the covered dish, bring them in. We join together with that wonderful time of food and fellowship. So therefore, we invite you to come. Any of our services, Bible study at 9:30 on Sunday morning, and then 10:45 and 7 o'clock on Sundays and 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. We'd be delighted to have you as our special guest We look forward to having you with us. You can join in this discussion now at 401-1413. Be delighted to have you to do so. Our nation must turn back to God. Our nation is in deep, deep, deep trouble. I want to just go through a litany of those difficulties we're faced with, and then we're going to summarize it today with looking at God's Word as to the answer from the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. It was a shock to me to discover today that the entire Bush family, Bush 1, Bush 2, Jeb Bush, the entire family saying that they're simply not going to support the Republican nominee. They're not going to support Donald Trump. In fact, as I understand the broad article on the subject, there is a tendency for them to vote for Hillary Clinton rather than for Donald Trump. They're so adamantly opposed to the fact that Donald Trump is not bought by any politician or any group of politicians, and therefore he is free to institute some super change, in my opinion, for America in the right sense. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump wears a halo and walks on water. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we need somebody like that that will not be beholden to the lobbyists and the payoffs of the shadow government that is instituted in Washington by the elitists, by both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans. Another article that I have read and was shocked to find, the feds are through the Social Security Administration. They're attempting to disarm some of our seniors. If a senior citizen is put in the position of having to have an administrator or someone to be in charge of their affairs, then the federal government is considering through the Social Security Administration with the rules and regulations to consider them as being incapable and therefore depriving them of their Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. Now, that's frightening, ladies and gentlemen. That is a frightening thing when you have the government talking about through the Social Security program, because you draw a check for that which you have placed into trust with the federal government, your money, and you're simply receiving it back from the federal government where they can control your constitutional rights, and especially the Second Amendment to keep and bear arms, the right to keep and bear arms. Another little food for thought is the California school curriculum is now indoctrinating seven-year-olds with sodomite material and advancing the sodomite agenda. That is alarming. And that's not the only school district. That's not the only state. But it is major in the state of California because, generally speaking, whatever school books, textbooks that are utilized and instituted in California generally will steamroll across America. We have right now in Duval County, an absolute difficulty because we have Dr. Vitti that's allowing the open bathroom, the open locker room, the open shower room, the open dressing room, where the perverts, the pedophiles, and the sodomites can go in and photograph young girls and to perhaps harm them, and school is supposed to be a safe place. I say to the school board, if you're worth your salt, fire Dr. Vitti. I'm talking about the Duval County School Board. Dr. Vitti needs to be fired. His contract needs to be canceled, even if we have to write a check to him to put him on his way to some other place to destroy some other school board, but not Duval County. Our students, when sent to a public school, ought to be in a safe shelter zone. They need to be protected. We talk about protecting them against bullying, but yet we want to take the bathroom doors off, the locker room doors off, and allow them to be subjected to the pedophiles and the perverts and the sodomites to do as they please. It seems that we have a silence on the part of the media, locally, statewide, and nationally. By the way, Kim Davis of Kentucky, that was has just been cleared of any wrongdoing as the clerk of court, as she refused to sign the sodomite marriage license. The media is silent on that. It's as though it hasn't happened. It, ladies and gentlemen, that's a victory for a Christian conscience. That's a victory for every man and woman, boy and girl, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ in America. That's a victory for the side on law and order. That's a victory for our Constitution. And yet the media is silent. Perhaps you read the article. It's not been on the media. It's been silent. Where a Christian youth group, Christian choir that's traveling around the globe, they were in another nation, and the nation that they're in, Scotland, because they're a secular nation, because they're anti-God nation. They have written major articles and had major things to say about the Christian choir, about 100 young men and young women traveling and singing gospel songs and telling them and their testimony about Jesus Christ. And the write-up in the Scotland papers, and by way of their radio and television media, they said that this youth choir, the Christian youth choir, is no less than a Nazi group or ISIS. The media, local, state, and national media in America, once again, is silent. More police officers have just been murdered, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yet the president continues to praise the Black Lives Matter. I did a full broadcast one day last week on Black Lives Matter. It is a Marxist, communist, Marxist, left-wing, uber-liberal group that hates white people. And yet the president's had them, the head of the Marxist group called Black Lives Matter, he's entertained them in the White House two or three times, and he's praised them. The media has praised them. The leadership of Black Lives Matter has been interviewed several times. I'll do another broadcast this week on Black Lives Matter and warn you, we the people, the American people, of the dangers so that you can demand that our leadership on a state and local and national level do something to turn America around. You'll never turn us around as a nation. You'll never get us back in the right direction as long as Black Lives Matter. Listen very carefully. I believe every life matters because we're created in the image of God. And because we're created in the image of God, that's the reason God's Word says in Exodus, the 20th chapter, "Thou shall not commit murder." Black Lives Matter. Therefore, there ought to be some Black Lives leadership that will say something, picket, march, demonstrate, whatever, in the front of the Planned Parenthood abortuary murder clinics. Planned Parenthood murders about 80% of the murders that take place in the mother's womb is as a result of the so-called program of Planned Parenthood, which is designed, go back and study the history, designed to wipe out the black race. But yet we do not find the Black Lives Matter leadership saying anything about that. They're not saying anything about the black-on-black crime in Chicago, Detroit, or other locations on a national basis. More police officers murdered at the hands of the wrought-up sensitivities of the black populace in America because of the Black Lives Matter movement. This individual that killed the police officers in Baton Rouge. He came from Kansas City. He was in an uproar, and he was churning. And most of the uproar and the churning in the hearts of these that want to retaliate by killing police officers come as a result of the president of the United States of America siding with that left-leaning Marxist, communist, socialist mindset and approach that's trying to bring about anarchy in America and wanting to kill police officers in the process. A gunman goes into a hospital and shoots a patient and a nurse. I'm talking about the different events that's taking place that's literally shredding the fabric of America. Yet Obama continues to blame the guns, not the ideology of the Marxists, not the ideology of the one that's pulling the trigger, that in many cases, excuse me, just hates people. He's silent. We need to say to everybody, pray and vote. We need to make sure that we put someone in office that's going to do something other than praise a socialist, Marxist group in America that's entertained by our president. Obama is silent about that. Virginia School Board has decided they're going to take this transgender battle to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't know about you, but I commend them for it. I pray that they will do so. They've been accused and abused by the media and the left-wing liberals in America long enough. May I remind us, on a local level, our city council 18-1 vote passed an ordinance that will place it on the November ballot, a referendum for we the people to vote on, to put slot machines into Vol County. Howard Corman happens to be the head of the gambling empire in Duval County and surrounding area with the dog tracks and the dog races. He happens to own a card room called Best Bets over in Arlington. And it just so happens that the city council, in all of their wisdom, has given him, if this referendum passes, Howard Corman, his gambling empire, will be the only one they will have the right to put in slot machines. Now, that's bad enough. He'll have a 50-mile radius around his location. They're talking about putting in 2,000 slot machines. 11 of our city council members took what I perceive to be a bribe, anywhere from $500 to $2,000, to buy the vote. Of course, it was called an election campaign contribution. Our mayor accepted $4,000. From this same gambling group. In the mayor's inner circle, there happens to be an individual named Allie Corman Shelton that is the director of the Intergovernmental Affairs Office. And it's a sad shame that when you have influence that can be bought, that our city council will take sides with a 1% or less of society. That includes their position on the sodomite agenda of the expanded HRO. That includes their position on gambling and slot machines in Duval County at the risk of destroying families in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm appalled by it. I'm saddened by it. And I call on we the people, you the listener. You can call us, by the way, at 401-1413. You can ask any question. You can join in this discussion. You can agree or disagree. We're not going to be disagreeable, but you're free to disagree. If anything I say you think is out of ordinary and ought not to be, as a Christian, we need to be concerned and we need to be salt and light. So what are we going to do? Francis Schaeffer said, how should we then live? I believe we need to be salt and light. But there are two things in particular that I believe everyone listening to the sound of my voice, we need to do. Number one is participate. Participate. Participate in calling our legislators in Tallahassee and in Washington, calling our city council members, calling our school board, demanding that they do what is right for the citizens in our city and in our state and across our land. That's being salt and light. Salt is no good if it's lost its savor. Salt is no good if it stays in the shaker. Salt is no good but to be cast out and trodden underfoot, Jesus Christ said in the 5th chapter of Matthew. We're to be light. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. If we're salt and if we're light, we're going to get out there and get involved. The problem that I find is most Christians have been told for so many years by their spineless pastors, and I say that with all due respect for preachers, but most are unwilling to stand in the pulpits and warn the people of the dangers in society and what's happening with the jurisprudence system in our nation and how we're being destroyed morally and ethically and biblically and constitutionally and legally as a nation. So every Christian needs to participate. Secondly, we need to pray. We need to pray. The scripture is very, very clear. When the Bible tells us, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, our land needs to be healed. Our land is broken. Our land is hurting. It needs to be healed. And that verse, that single verse, it is probably the best challenge for me to leave us with today. If my people, which are called by my name, in fact, John Adams said, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. It's not the heathen on the street. It's not the ungodly or the lost person that is the problem. It is bad enough that some things hinder society. But may I remind us, it's if my people, there must be a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. According to the Barna Report, 91% of Americans claim to be spiritual, but yet less than 37%, hear me, 91% claim to be spiritual, but less than 37% attend any church on any given occasion. If my people, the first requirement for us to pray that God will heal our land is to be saved, blood bought, Bible saved, born again, without any equivocation. May I remind us, this is a challenge for we the people. Not only personal salvation is required, but penitent submission is also required. Shall humble themselves. We're living today in a society of prideful arrogancy. The arrogancy that says, I will not bow before God. Even some believers have arrived to the point of arrogancy and a refusal to submit to the Word of God. I've had people tell me, well, Dr. Youngblood or pastor, whatever the setting may be, I know what you're saying. I know what you tell me the scripture says, but I know what I've experienced. I know what I feel. I know what I see. And I'm not going to be guided or directed by what the scripture says, what the Bible says. That's arrogancy in the greatest form. Arrogancy. There's some people today that have decided they'll have their own theology. It's called kitchen theology. It's called goosebump theology. It's called cotton candy theology. I'm going to do it my way. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:6, the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. May I remind us there's a need for humility before the Lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a need for us to bow the knee and to recognize that our only hope in America and as a world is to turn back to biblical truth, turn back to the Word of God. So we need a personal salvation is required, a penitent submission is required, and a passionate supplication is also required. The scripture says in that 2 Chronicles 7:14, and pray. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you spent time with God in searching the scripture and saying, God, I can't, but you can? George Barner in the Barner Report also says that most Christians pray less than 3 minutes a day. Less than 3 minutes a day. May I remind us, that's a black eye for every Christian, for every child of God, and for every church. May I remind us, the scripture says, and pray. During the Civil War, a friend of Abraham Lincoln was a visitor at the White House. I'm reading an article that's a brief illustration of what I'm saying. One night, the article said, I was restless and could not sleep. From the private room where the president slept, I heard low tones. Instinctively, I wandered in, and there I saw a sight I have never forgotten. It was the president on his knees, kneeling before an open Bible. His back was toward me. I shall never regret, this article says, I shall never regret and never forget hearing his prayer. He prayed, and we're talking about Abraham Lincoln. O thou God that heard Solomon in the night when he prayed and cried for wisdom, hear me. I cannot guide the affairs of this nation without thy help. Hear me and save this nation. I say, wow. Oh, that God would send us a president, that God would send us national leaders that would take the same position as did Abraham Lincoln. So personal salvation is required. Penitent submission is required. Passionate supplication is required. But also purposeful seeking the face of God is required. In that text in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and seek my face. What does it mean to seek God's face? What does it mean when God says, seek my face? It means to seek to please him, seek to know him personally, seek to know his will for our lives personally, seek to know his will for our nation, seek to know his will for what we ought to do in our city, in our states, and in our nation. If we were to say, as married men, we'd say, I try to seek the face of my wife. What are we saying? We're saying, I'm trying to please her. I'm trying to bring satisfaction into her life by showing her that I honor her. That's what God wants. God wants us to seek his face, to honor him, submit our lives and our wills unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're not fully committed to God if we're not willing to seek his face in what we do. In fact, in Matthew 6:33, the scripture says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. We're talking about two things that the Christian ought to do. That is to become a participant, to be involved in the system, to be involved in what's done as salt and light. Secondly, we're to pray. And in that prayer is laid out in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's personal salvation is required. If my people, which are called by my name, penitent submission is required, shall humble themselves. A passionate supplication is required and pray. A purposeful seeking is required and seek my face. But there's a persistent separation that's also required. That verse says, and turn from their wicked ways. To turn. That word can be used also to repent. It means turning away, a change of direction, a change of mind, to recognize sin for sin. If you want to understand a little more clearly in what I call the young blood vernacular, it means sodomite pastors and churches, turn from your wicked ways. It means those in a shacked up living relationship, turn from the wicked ways. It means those living in a shameful lifestyle and lying, turn from your wicked ways. May I remind us, we need to say, I'm willing to stand for Jesus, regardless of what others may say or do. It is time that we believe the scripture, where it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, after all that we have done, willingness to bow the knee, humble before God, pray and seek his face, turn and repent from our wicked ways. Then God says, I will hear from heaven and will forgive your sins and will heal your land. Ladies and gentlemen, our land needs healing as never before in my lifetime. Our city needs healing. Our people need healing. We need healing among the races. We need healing spiritually, morally, and ethically. We need to turn back to God and realize the only way that God can deliver our nation is to seek him and to seek him first. Yes, it's dark today. Yes, it's dangerous today. But we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. I can tell by the music it's time for our program to be over, but I will meet you tomorrow on the air, the same time, the same station. And God bless you as we look forward to what God is going to do in our lives and in our nation.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.